Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, what's happening, everybody? Happy Tuesday to all of you. Nice to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us. Thank you to ESPN for putting that it is Tuesday on the TV screen for me. It's going to be a good day.
Don't be misled by ESPN's graphic that says the Tigers at Astros starts at 2:30. It starts at 2.
That's Eastern time.
2:30 Eastern.
Yeah.
It's 2:32 Eastern.
2:32. You
prime
love that.
Time.
Yep. Prime time.
That's right.
2:30. 1:32
yeah,
here.
Yeah, right. 1:32. Sorry.
Yeah, let's
I'm
not
staring,
it's
staring
early.
At Sports Center with their Eastern bias.
Yep. Welcome in, everybody, on a Tuesday. And yes, the playoffs get started today. We'll get to that in the second segment as more and more of you get into your automobiles. How are you doing this morning, Mike?
I'm good. I feel like a little bit of that overwhelmed feeling of, oh, man, there's so much sports going on.
A lot of stuff.
Got these, I guess these two Monday Night Football things are going to be, I bet by the, they'll probably be 17 of them by 3 years from now.
They had one last week. They had one again this week, the doubleheader. And yeah. I'm still torn on the two games at the same time
thing. I don't like that.
Yeah.
I don't like that, honestly.
I don't get it.
And honestly, too, you know, as much as people say, well, you know, they make too much of who the announcers are. Nobody tunes in to watch the announcers. True to a degree, but I definitely turn away if it doesn't feel... If it's a lackluster game about teams I don't care about, then I'm just... It doesn't feel the same.
Yeah.
It's like when you go to... Okay, why do people pay extra money for a nice hotel? It's usually not that much different.
Right.
It's just the accoutrements and everything, little details and everything. Yeah. So that's how I feel about Monday Night Football. Like, yeah. Give me something that feels something like it's something special.
I would say this about last night's Monday Night game. First of all, neither of them were... The Titans game wasn't super compelling just because it was a blowout. And Miami's awful without Tua.
I liked watching Will Levis... to get
banged
stupid
up
again.
Well, that's where I'm going. That's where I'm going with this, because if we take a look at the Titans game, and the Titans, if you missed it, the Titans ended up blowing out the Dolphins last night, 31-12, I think was the final score. The other game, Seattle falls from the ranks of the unbeaten, which you could see coming from a mile away based on how shaky their 3-0 start was. I mean, they beat some bad teams. Detroit ran them out of the gym last night. They scored 42 points on them. 42-29, the final score in that one. Seth, I'm looking at the Titans and I'm looking at the Colts yesterday, or 2 days ago, the Colts. And in a weird way, this is one of the, I won't say it's worst case scenario, but it's definitely skews in that direction for the Texans.
Yeah.
I think the worst thing for the Texans is for Will Levis and Anthony Richardson to get hurt.
I know. No, 100%.
Those are scarier football teams right now with Mason Rudolph and Joe Flacco.
Those are the classic guys where when you're playing a rookie quarterback, for instance, that your veteran QB on the roster is probably better.
Andy Dalton and Bryce Young.
Right,
I know Bryce isn't a rookie anymore.
No, I remember watching the Jets when it was Sanchez and Brunell was his backup.
Right.
You know, and like, okay, man, I tell you what, Brunell wouldn't be hurting his own team at least. You might as well put 42-year-old Brunell in. So Yeah, with Will Levis, he goes out and he's just, Mason Rudolph's not going to make as many boneheadedly stupid decisions, including, now Levis, this is going to be Levis, like, this is what he does, he takes so many stupid hits, yeah. Like stuff that he just...
a shoulder injury.
Yeah, and you take as much contact as he does, especially needlessly, it's going to add up over time, and Richardson is just, he's flat out injury prone.
He's injury prone, and he got injured in the game on Sunday, and they brought him back in, and they immediately run a designed run for him, and he gets knocked out again.
Yeah. Yeah,
so
Flacco doesn't worry me as much. You know, even though we saw him in the regular season, he tore the Texans up. I think he's got a shelf life in terms of, all right, once he spends a certain number of games in an offense and they see how they're going to use him, then I'm not as concerned about.
I'm not super concerned about either team. I just think it's interesting that both teams functioned better this week. In week four, there's no denying that both of these teams, the Indianapolis Colts. And for sure the Tennessee Titans functioned way better with their veteran backups in than they did with the young guys that were drafted alongside C.J. Stroud
in
that class of 2023.
And then I'm thinking last night as I'm watching the Dolphins without Tua, and it's just a screen pass turned lateral, like all the things that are that probably wouldn't happen with Tua in there. It was ugly. Yeah. I feel like, if you're trying to figure out, okay, who probably made the worst decision in paying a quarterback that you weren't quite sure about, Tua, it's still very much up for debate whether that was a smart move or not. It's clear that they're not that they're better off with Tua, obviously.
Yeah, 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 for sure.
But the Jaguars, there's nothing good you can say about it. He was bad that's the Texans' biggest sin in that game is in which they didn't actually let the Jaguars score a whole bunch.
No.
But they turned Trevor Lawrence into a more efficient quarterback than he typically is. But he still wasn't good in the game.
18 of 33.
Yeah, he airmailed a couple of easy touchdowns. I mean, that's what was frustrating about it was that you were letting Trevor Lawrence into that game. But, man, the Jaguars just did not. There was nothing about Trevor Lawrence in that performance where you thought it was worth him getting all that money.
No, they... I thought about Tua also last night. I'm like, God, it is a weird dynamic with all these quarterback contracts. I mean, I've had a link sitting on the rundown for a week now about how bad all these $50+ million dollar contracts have been. Like, there's not a single one that's been doled out that doesn't have some sort of really bad hair on it. The Tua thing is interesting because in some respects you go, like, you watch Skylar Thompson or last night Snoop Huntley or whoever muck around out there and look horrible, and you're like, well, that's why we paid Tua $53 million. And then you're like, well, he's concussed again.
And he's already, right. Yeah, that's the whole thing.
It's weird. It proves the point of having to pay a quarterback.
Yeah.
And at the same time, proves the point of, well, don't pay that quarterback.
Man, you know, Michael Silver, is that his name? Michael Silver, the guy that was on NFL Network,
yes.
And now he's doing,
yeah.
I saw him doing an interview. I think.
Got that weird raspy voice.
He's like Harry Carey.
Yeah.
Like, but drunker. He was, I think he was on Barstool, but he was telling
us. He was,
us
I saw this interview. Yeah.
When the Shanahans were in Washington, and after RG3's rookie year, that basically Mike Shanahan wanted to play Kirk Cousins. That despite, and I think it was either after his rookie year or his second year. It was one, you know, right after he was coming off of rookie of the year and all that.
Yeah.
But they kind of felt like, no, we already don't like what we have in RG3,
right.
And we'd like to trade him away.
Right.
And it just got shut down by the owner. Right. Yeah, they should have traded him away. So I think, I mean, with Tua, it's not on the play side of things, even though I do feel like there's, as a player, he's fine. But he's concussed all the time.
Yeah.
But there's something like, I feel like if you're the Dolphins, you're Mike McDaniel. I mean, I know he's always positive all the time, but was there any skeptical part of him that thought, like, oh, gosh, this guy's brain is jiggling around in his skull like like a pinball? I don't know, man.
I haven't had a chance to watch. I want to watch McDaniel's press conference from last night and just see how he was with everything that went on out there. What a weird game. There was Ben sent us the audio. Ross Tucker was on that game last night on the radio. And apparently, I didn't see it. I was out. I had my appearance. Shout out to Legacy Cigars and Lounge. We had a great time
Legacy.
Out there. We had a great time out there last night watching football. But they had both games on, obviously, on all the TVs in there. And at that point in the game where there was some onside kick, or no, it was like a safety, like the free kick after a safety.
Yeah.
And I guess Miami tried to onside the free kick. and the ruling was some super confusing ruling that Cleet Blakeman had to explain, like over-explain to the entire crowd, whoever was left in the building at that point. And Ross was just like, I don't understand what's going on right now.
Ross is, this is why I like Ross as a color commentator better than Tony Romo as well, is that Ross is aware of when he's being dumb.
Yeah.
You know, Romo just keeps out, especially with the rules officiating stuff. Romo, like, who's their rules analyst with Romo?
Is it Steratore?
Steratore.
Gene?
Basically, Steratore will say, well, so you see, Tony, it's because his knee was down and then his elbow hit out of bounds. And Tony will be like, yeah, because it's all about whether the elbow is in bounds. I know what you're saying, Gene. Let me quote you inaccurately. And Gene's like, well, no, Tony, it's actually, no, his knee was down. And right. That's the worst when you're trying to explain. You know, this happens with Brandy and I a lot. I'm trying to explain something. And she's saying, yeah, I know, I got it. I'm trying to be a good husband. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, no, I can tell you don't get it. And she's like, yeah, no, Seth, I got it. And I'm like, oh, she's going to think I'm mansplaining her, but I know she doesn't understand what I'm saying.
So what primal instinct kicks in for you? Do you continue to explain, or do you back off?
No, I let her go try it for herself, and then she fumbles it.
Chops off one of her fingers.
Yeah, like, listen, sweetie.
That's how a baler works.
If I can't explain it to you.
I told you that's how a buzzsaw works. Good news yesterday from our friend D'Amico Ryans, head coach of the Houston Texans. Tank Dell will be back. Well, actually, D'Amico didn't give that news, but Will Kunkel on X of Fox 26 said that Tank Dell is expected
Nathaniel
back this
Dell.
Week.
Nathaniel? He's Nathaniel until he gets back on the field.
And then you can be Tank again.
Yes.
All right.
I saw somebody in a heated discussion during my chat yesterday about whether or not Tank Dell should be returning kicks. And I used to try to be Rico analytical about this and be like, well, statistically, it's no more dangerous than crossing the street.
Where are you on it now?
No, hell no. Keep him off the field except when he's absolutely necessary.
I was a Dell kick return guy, too. I'm not on that anymore. So, yeah, I saw Will tweet that out yesterday. D'Amico did confirm that Christian Harris will not be activated this
week. I know,
week.
This was... okay. The Texans have... Sean, I hope I didn't put this in the notes. Okay. Of the linebackers who are not Henry Toa and Azeez Alshire, who have played on defense, not on special teams, but on defense, who is it? Like, who's played the third most and how many reps does he have?
The third most snaps?
Yes.
I'm going to guess Neville Hewitt because that's the only one I can think of right now.
With one rep.
He played one snap at linebacker?
Yes.
Wow, man.
So Cody Seuss asked a question yesterday about all the snaps that the linebackers were getting. And Cody asked it in such a way that he was asking about, like, are you worried about almost like are they getting too much usage or going to be on a snap count or something? With linebackers, those guys generally don't rotate. Your Sam will just come off the field and nickel. But right now, they're never in their 4-3 base. They're a nickel and dime all
Petrie's
the time.
Petrie's basically the other line.
Yeah, and they don't feel great about the other options. I think they're going to play mostly nickel all the time anyway. But there's times where, man, I just feel like they could use some big bodies out there.
Yeah.
There's some things in the run defense that it feels like, statistically, I don't think it was as bad as the numbers showed, and they hemmed it up towards the end. But it was leaky versus in the last couple weeks. And they need Christian Harris back. They need D'Amico Autry back. That's just there needs to be a little bit more angry aggression and athleticism at the second level right now.
All right, we're off and running on a Tuesday. Payne and Pendergast.
Body weight.
Payne and Pendergast with you.
Yeah.
Let's get to the Astros in the next segment here. Let's lay it out. 1:32 today. First pitch. We've got some updates on Yordan Alvarez. We're gonna probably. The roster is probably going to get released for the wild card round while we're on the air this morning.
Oh.
So we'll see who the Astros, there's still a question about Verlander being on the roster and the big one's Yordan Alvarez.
And we got to rip AJ Hinch too.
We got to rip AJ Hinch. Yeah. We'll hear from AJ in this next segment.
Are we doing 10 reasons I despise him?
We'll get that all put together.
Okay.
As I mentioned, I had a cigar appearance last night, so some things may have...
I had nodding off and on the couch to do, okay?
Yeah.
We all have our challenges, Sean.
We'll get to it all. We'll get to it all. Astros talk, getting you ready for the wild card round. That is coming up next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Tuesday. Playoff baseball today, baby. 1:32 p.m. is first pitch. This is as good a matchup as you can find in the postseason as far as pitchers go. Framber Valdez against Tarik Skubal of the Detroit Tigers. Before we get into this series, updates on certain things from Joe Espada before or during their workout yesterday. Here was Joe Espada yesterday, the latest status on Yordan Alvarez.
Yeah, so he's about to go and start hitting right now in the cage. And we also want him to go outside and run. So once I get to see those things, I'll give you a little bit more here, probably post-workout.
Okay, and I have not seen, and if it's out there, I apologize. I've not seen anything from Espada post-workout.
Yeah.
The mere fact that he was taking batting practice and giving it a go at running would have me, and again, this is without me having eyes on it, but that he's at that stage where he feels good taking batting practice and trying out the knee, I would keep him on the playoff roster, even if it's just the mere possibility he could pinch hit for
if it has to be an emergency, say, or just walking up to the plate for the last at bat of a closeout game in the ninth inning.
Whatever. Yes.
Whatever it is, just have him ready, and you never know exactly when all of a sudden
he can win you a game with a swing of a bat.
Right. Yeah. So no, I'm with you there. Unless he's obviously, if he tries to run on the treadmill and it doesn't go well,
right?
If he tries to slide, how many sliding drills do you want him to do, Sean? You're in a bind here, aren't you? Because you want him to get better at sliding, so imagine, it's not so scary.
Can you imagine that's what Espada said? He's like, well, he just got out of the cage. He's going and practicing his sliding over there.
Yeah.
So I thought that was...
I'm going to give it a 53% chance he's playing by game two.
By game... Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, 53% chance he plays by game two. I think he's going to be on the roster, if I had to guess. Espada was asked about Verlander and the possibility of Verlander being on the roster. And there was a general question about experience on the roster as well for the playoffs. Here's what Espada had to say.
It does matter. It matters a lot. You know, postseason baseball, the energy, the stage, it matters. When it comes to our roster, we're still having conversations, so we'll have the roster set by tomorrow morning.
Okay. So that's I would imagine we're going to see the roster sometime while we're on the air here. So I think those are the two big questions people have. Is Verlander on the roster? If I had to guess, I would say no.
Yeah.
And is Yordan going to be active for this? And if I had to just total guess based on the progress that he's made and all the flowery news, which we know comes with a lack of trust with the Astros anytime there's good or bad news with injuries, I would guess Yordan's going to be on the roster.
Yeah, so you know, if you had to make the decision between Yordan, who might or might not be healthy enough to play, versus Verlander, if it was just between those two. I know different position, but still, if you had to make that decision, what does your gut tell you?
Yordan, no question.
The upside with Yordan, I think, and the trust that you could have for him to deliver, even in one of those three games, which same thing as a pitcher, you can only use him for one game.
I literally don't think Verlander would play in this series.
Right,
You know, like that's the thing. So, Which is sad, but maybe you get to the ALDS and ALCS and he starts to factor in. I was happy to see Verlander get a quality start in his last start of the season.
Mm-hmm. I was a little bit perturbed. I felt like, okay, just let's have some clarity here. Just go out and go and struggle. I don't want to have any doubt in my mind or anything or throw anything.
These are our top three guys.
Yeah, look, we saw Jose Abreu had a nice push at the end of last season, and it was enough to almost capsize everything this year.
Yeah. Well, we're not on the hook for Verlander next year, so that's good news. Game two starter not set yet. As of Monday afternoon, we know Framber's starting today. Here was Joe Espada when asked, "Have you set the rotation yet?"
We're having conversations about who's going to start game two. So not yet.
I can't imagine that it's not Hunter Brown. I like Hunter Brown's been their second best starter over the last couple of months.
Yeah, I would have really no issue with any order that they threw out there. I mean, I'd be surprised if it wasn't going to be Framber.
Yeah.
Framber's
pitching today.
I know, I'm saying. I would have been surprised if it had not been Framber for game one. Yeah. So, sorry, awkward phrasing, Sean, I apologize.
No problem, Chandler.
Do I need to explain it to you again? No, I think that, I think Kikuchi, who's got very little playoff experience, is the most intriguing one here. I'd expect Hunter Brown, Kikuchi. Some variation of Blanco and Arrighetti, depending, you know, in the next series or whatever happens. Somebody piggybacks here in the first series. Mm-hmm. We'll see. But I guess of these three pitchers, Framber was not good in the postseason last year.
No.
12 runs in 12 innings, 0-3. It just wasn't pretty. And
is that what it was? I remember him struggling. I'm like, I don't want to go back and look at the numbers.
It wasn't so hot.
Yeah, it was bad.
Framber, it was
him and Javier both.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Javier, so Hunter Brown and then Kikuchi, regardless of what order they were going, what's your trust level on those three?
One through three. I would say, well, Framber number one, which is wild because, you know, there have been, you know, little appearances here and there this season of the bad Framber, but it's been a while. He's been amazing the last couple months. Framber number one, based purely on performance over the last couple months. I would say Hunter Brown number two, who actually does have experience pitching in the postseason.
Yeah.
Kikuchi's got very little. And then Kikuchi number three.
Okay.
As far as my overall
trust level, I guess I'm like asking, like, all right, Yeah, that's where I am. I was trying to, in my mind, make an argument for Kikuchi's trust level at least being higher. If not I don't feel as aggressively, all right, let's shut this fool down.
But, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Here was, Joe Espada yesterday. Actually, Ben, let's stick with Framber here as long as we're talking about it. Here was Joe Espada talking about Framber's struggles last year.
But one thing that he has left out in the past, and that's in the past, and I expect Framber to go out there and perform the way Framber has performed this whole entire second half. He's one of the best pitchers in the league, and you know, he wants the ball. And I expect him to go out there tomorrow and give us a great start.
Yeah, and I'm not worried about last season. I'm with Espada on this. Like, Framber has also pitched really well in the postseason at times.
Yeah.
You know, like, he's so, you know, last year was just a weird year. This is one I want. I haven't heard this one yet. This is AJ Hinch. He did some media yesterday as the Tigers get ready for the Astros the next 2-3 days. And if we remember, Hinch was gone by the time Framber started to turn into this version of Framber. AJ Hinch had a much different version of Framber Valdez that he was managing.
Yeah, right.
When
Framber
first came up back in 2018 and 2019.
It's a great point, Sean.
Thank you. Here's AJ Hinch talking about Framber. He's grown up a lot.
I think with Framber, when he broke in, you could see the stuff was incredible. You could see the unique movement, the hard breaking ball, the durable body, and someone who took the mound and tried to attack every hitter. I think it's hard to predict that guys are going to have this kind of success, but from a ingredient standpoint, it was really, you know, fun to watch him break into the big leagues and become more and more dominant as he's gotten, you know, more and more in the strike zone and around the strike zone. He gets a ton of chase. He gets a ton of soft contact. He has weapons for everybody. He's been really good against left-handed hitters, which is not that unexpected given his stuff. And I think his world has calmed down around him in terms of his maturity competitively, you know, when pitching on the big stage. I mean, he's pitched as important a game as anybody in that room. So I, you know, I can see the growth in him from the first day that I saw him as a prospect and then leading into now anchoring a staff.
Yeah, they say AJ Hinch gave him the nickname La Garza.
So yeah,
I always liked his swag. That's what I want AJ Hinch to say. I always liked his swag.
Yeah, always kid always had swag.
All right, so AJ Hinch, the psychology major in college. Do you think he's gonna? Do you think he has a big brother effect, like a kind of a you know? Like
do I think you can get in Fromber's head
when somebody's confidence all of a sudden is shaken when their brother, who used to be a bully growing up, walks in the room? Yeah, do we get a little bit of that?
I'm a little nervous about AJ Hinch having his moment here.
Like
with
somehow,
the Astros.
Somehow try to gaslight Fromber into erratic performances.
Yeah, maybe
something.
As part of it. Yeah, but I've got a weird feeling in my gut about this wild card round, man.
Yeah.
It's just...
Well, you should. Yeah. It's just a random.
Yeah.
It throws everything into disarray.
Yeah.
Because there's no other sport where it's as easy for a lesser team to beat a better team. So it just throws a big old monkey wrench of randomness into
yeah.
it.
Yeah. I mean, the Astros are, I think, you know, top to bottom, they're clearly the better team. The Astros, if you missed it yesterday, they did the all MLB. It's kind of like all pro. In football, the All-MLB nominees yesterday, and the Astros were tied for third with the most guys on the ballot. There's, I think, 70 guys on the ballot across yeah. all the positions. They had seven guys on there. It's still a really, really talented baseball
team. It's a very talented...
They had seven guys on there, and Kyle Tucker wasn't one of them because he missed 3 months.
Right. Yeah. So, I think that it's so weird in the way this season's gone for how you feel about the baseball team, where in a lot of respects... They're one of the more likable, lovable bunches, partly because you didn't know half these guys mm-hmm. before they started playing. But they're still like, I still have this hesitancy. I can feel it within me where I almost don't want to accept some of the things that are really good because I'm so scarred by the opening weeks of the season.
Yeah.
Which is strange. I feel guilty about it, Sean.
You do?
I mean, I've watched this team since 2017 just overcome various obstacles, overcome expectations,
and
all
now
that.
This year.
And yet this year, where they've, since June 1st, they've proven it.
Yeah.
And sure, there's weaknesses here and there, just like there have been in every
in
other
past.
Championship
yeah.
season. Yeah, there's something I just hold back a little bit, and I don't know why. I think it's not just the start to the season, it's the weirdness of Kyle Tucker, too.
Yeah.
And the Kikuchi, you know what? Probably a little bit of shame over being wrong about Kikuchi.
Oh, you're
so
not alone on that
shame,
one, though. That's,
but yeah. I have deep shame about it, Sean.
Yeah, I don't.
I got to go
don't.
Talk to Brene
whatever,
Brown
whatever, he's
something.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
This is, yeah, I got issues, man.
Okay.
I'm very emotionally conflicted about my, you know what I am, Sean? It's like I feel like I'm a little bit of a traitor for having doubted the Astros, and now I can't fully wrap my arms around them and admit that I was completely and totally
you gotta
wrong.
You got to let it go, man.
All right.
It's a postseason. You got to hug them.
What are the ML? What are the odds telling me? At least
here
like
the
on
odds.
Fan graphs.
Here,
tell me what
here,
the
here are the
who's most likely to win the World Series?
The most likely team is the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Okay, yes, I knew that.
The next most likely team, according to the odds board, is the Yankees of New York.
Well, okay, yeah.
Two very lovable teams that if the Astros don't make
the
it,
human
the world will be just fine.
Yeah, the Yankees are going to fall apart in the playoffs. We know this.
Number three, the Phillies of Philadelphia.
Never heard of them.
Yeah,
they sound like rude people. Who would disparage
people.
An elderly mattress salesman.
They would, and he will go right back at them.
Yes, he will.
Fourth on the board, your Houston Astros.
Yeah.
Plus 750 to win the World Series. 7.5 to 1.
That's where I always try to consult Vegas and the computers to see if I'm being objective enough or not. And I think that's...
What'd you find out?
I guess I'm... My inability to really 100% wrap my head around. It's not even my arms around. I love the teams and the players. It's been a scrappy underdog story, which is awesome. I thought we were past the days of scrappy underdog stories in Houston. I feel something holding me back.
Yeah. My biggest concern is that we get two games that look a lot like a ton of Astro games this year, where at the end, you and I come in tomorrow and you're like, I can't believe they were 1-for-14 with runners in scoring
the
position.
Risps. Yeah, they got a case of the Rispies.
The Rispies scare me a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm worried. That's what I'm in a short series, and especially today against an elite pitcher, that's what I'm most worried about is just situational hitting.
I got to get my brain right for this. Yeah. I reflected upon it last night as I was falling asleep.
Do you like it being in the afternoon?
I do. I actually do just because I don't. Well, for one, you know how Brandy gets. She just gets so stressed out in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So those night games, it's and she can't sleep afterwards if the Astros lose.
Which means you can't
Which
sleep
Which means, afterwards. Right, well, or no, I sleep right through it.
Do you?
Just like, yeah, a champ. I don't have that level of empathy. So I sleep right through it. I got to get up in the morning. But it affects her mood.
Yeah.
When she's chronically sleep deprived during the playoffs. Yeah. So I like the afternoon games.
Yeah.
And I don't like getting it out. I don't like waiting for an evening game all day long. I just want to. I want to get to it. I got these feelings in my gut.
Well, and you and I have a unique schedule compared to a lot of our listeners, probably, where we actually can watch it. So I always feel a little disingenuous just touting how much I love afternoon baseball.
Yeah. It's
great.
If you don't have a real job, it's the best.
It's so awesome.
It's Sean and me and stoners and retired people.
It's great.
And kids
and
faking their home.
Into it, man.
Kids faking that they're sick. Who are home from school.
We are into it.
Watching Donahue.
By the way, R.I.P. Donahue. By the way, R.I.P. to Kembe Mutombo and Pete Rose.
Yeah, I know. We've got to. Yes.
We'll hit that in headlines. It deserves more than the minute, too, that we've got left in this segment. By the way, the Astros are favored in this series fairly significantly. -175. You got to lay 175 to win a mere 100 on the series on the Astros. So that's
the play-by-play announcer is going to be Michael
Kay. Dude.
Is that right? Michael
Kay,
the Yankees play-by-play
Michael
guy?
Michael Kay, Todd Frazier, former Yankee, and other
what
things.
What the hell, man?
And Tim Kirkjian is our sideline guy.
They suck during. Why does MLB do this during the playoffs? They make it as.
They got a lot of baseball. They got to staff it, man.
I know. But Michael Kay, at least Dodger Joe there, I feel like he's pretty unbiased when he calls the game.
Yeah.
As much as it was, because even Astros fans that were dead set on hating Dodger Joe, what the hell's his last name?
Davis,
thank you. Joe Davis had to concede, like, okay, you know what?
He
calls this pretty clean.
Yeah.
I think he's very conscious of not making any being better than everybody else scandal references.
You think Michael Kay is a lock to make?
Yeah, Michael Kay is a fraud when it comes to this stuff. He almost just like talks about the buzzer allegations without explaining that they're actually that there was nothing.
He
to
might be
that.
Listening right now, you know?
No, yeah, I'm sure he's putting. No, dude, that dude does. He works. Yeah. He works. Yeah.
Like, oh, that's right. He has his radio show.
Yeah,
too.
I don't think he's spending time scanning the other markets.
But he's in town, you know. That's what I'm saying.
Like, okay.
He might. No, I don't mean he's on his app up at his high rise in New York listening to us. I'm saying he might be driving to go get coffee or something.
No,
like
I'd
that.
Give it to. I'd give it. He works his butt off.
He does.
I feel like on this topic, though, he's had some fraudulent. He's handled it fraudulently in a lot of ways. A little bit like John Boy, you know, just kind of glossing over the details and leaning into the narrative.
If you're remotely associated with the Yankees, you've had a bad moment with the Astros and the signs.
In terms of just your actual integrity,
yeah,
you've hoed it up a little bit.
Yeah, you've hoed
you belong
it up.
To the streets when
Good
it comes
call,
to
Seth.
Talking about the Astros.
Hoed it
stuff.
Up. Way to use "hoe" as a verb. Good job. All right, headlines. We got some Texans injury news, some good, some bad. The Astros will certainly get some baseball mixed in here in headlines. Monday Night Football, and yes, sad news from both the world of basketball and baseball that we will get you up to speed on coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. D'Amico Ryans met with the media yesterday, and here was the update on linebacker Christian Harris, who has been on IR for the entire season so far.
No, Christian won't be practicing this week, so he's still on the road to recovery. He's doing well, on the right track. We'll get him when we get him.
Okay. Thankfully, Henry Toa has been playing well this year. If Henry Toa hadn't taken the jump he's taken from year one to year two,
yeah,
this linebacker, it's already a bit of a dicey situation, as you pointed out earlier.
Yeah, because they're out there playing a 4-2-5 defense every single snap.
And there's no depth.
Yeah, and they're trying to stop the run with lighter bodies in there, and it's having a third linebacker, not that they're going to always be lining up in a 4-3, but they've got no choice.
It'd be
right
nice
now.
To have the option.
Yeah, and then also Christian Harris, I think, in terms of being an all-around linebacker and his potential in pass coverage and all of that, there's just more athleticism on the field with him. But, I mean, Toa Toa's done some really nice things. So just having that option is going to be huge, especially going against the better teams. Somebody asked me yesterday, hey, does it seem like this schedule's been a lot tougher than you expected? I said, no, it's been exactly what I thought it would be. I mean, I thought the Vikings would be the toughest out of all them. It's been exactly what I thought it would be. It's just that the Texans aren't as good as I thought they would be. Yeah. This is exactly how it should go.
You thought the Vikings would be the hardest of the four teams?
I thought there was a chance that they could be. It was a really big... I knew all the positive press Sam Darnold had in that offense and the way he played in Carolina. I was just curious about it. And in terms of the whole roster, I've been intrigued by them.
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't think it's a terrible take or anything like that. I just remember my impression of you know how I felt about Sam Darnold coming into the season. Now he's a top five MVP candidate. I thought the Colts game was of the first four games, that was the one I was most nervous about.
I wasn't intimidated by them because I didn't expect Anthony Richardson to be good. I knew exactly how it played out. Was it's just terrifying because Anthony Richardson can suck the whole game but kill you with two plays. He is that guy. But as far as I don't think that it's those teams the Texans have struggled with are better than we thought. Like, no, they've gotten destroyed by other teams. It's that the Texans haven't been as good as we thought they'd
be. The Texans, by and large, over the last season, plus these four games, the things they do most often are allow teams that I think are inferior to hang around with them, ultimately winning the games, which is great. You know, they're now like 10-3 in one-score games under DeMeco Ryans. That's noteworthy. Or they get blown out by teams that are better than them.
Right, and especially right now, I think even more so than last year, I think they had the ability to beat up on bad teams a little bit. This year, if teams are playing as conservatively as they are to limit the passing game for the Texans, they've got to be better at the stuff that should be easy versus bad teams. Just running the football, hurting them with short passes, all of that. I felt like that final touchdown drive, I'm trying not to read too much into it, but I feel like they figured a lot of things out and started operating a little bit more efficiently in this world that they're going to have to operate in. They took advantage. The Jaguars played a lot more zone than they typically do, and the Texans took advantage of it. It just took a while to get it clicking.
The Astros get going. Postseason 2024, it's here. Man, we're lucky. We get October baseball every year here in Houston. Eighth straight year that the Astros have hit the postseason. The roster for the wild card round should be coming out this morning. According to manager Joe Espada, this we do know. It'll be Framber Valdez and Tariq Skubal over at Minute Maid Park.
I am really excited about the matchup of Framber and Skubal. And I honestly, I see in every article written outside of Houston and inside Houston too. I mean, just it's known with Framber that he's been erratic in the past. Mm-hmm. I do feel like it's been a long time since I've worried about him emotionally. The only time this year was when he flat out said that he went off script.
And went into business for himself.
He just said basically I pivoted and decided to do something that I definitely should have done. But then he rebounded from that, and I don't worry about him the same way that I used to in the past.
No, I don't either.
The only thing I worry about is what you had pointed out. Is there any? Does AJ Hinch just know how to just maybe give the right look from the dugout or something?
If anybody would, a psych major from Stanford might know how to do that.
Diabolical.
Yeah.
If he says, you know what I would do if I were a diabolical psychologist,
what would you do?
Villain, I would just plant the seed in his brain.
Yeah.
I would say things that I would come up to him beforehand. And I would say, boy, it's really great that you figured out a way to overcome the emotional, these emotional challenges. You must have forgotten all about that story you told me, right? About peeing your pants when you were 13.
See, this
or something like that. Whatever their triggering thing is.
I don't know what Framber's degree of English speaking is because I know he uses the translator in postgame and whatnot. But he needs to keep the translator far, far away. And just when AJ Hinch walks up, just go, my guy's not here.
He needs to have a sports psychologist with him in the dugout. He's valuable to the Astros organization throughout the year, but just have him in the dugout.
Right there, yeah.
Breathe through your eyelids.
On retainer, breathe through your eyelids. Sad news yesterday. We'll start with the one with the closer ties here to Houston. Former Rocket and many other teams, Dikembe Mutombo, passes away at the age of 58. Universally, he was beloved. Like, he was a beloved figure. He was a great humanitarian, built hospitals back in his native country over in Africa with his own money in really, really downtrodden parts of the world.
Right,
he was always helping people. I didn't know he was sick.
And especially with building those hospitals and everything, like, obviously that's the last thing you're trying to do for glory in America or anything, but he had, he raised money for it, which is... And just with one of the best some of the best sports commercials of all time.
Dude,
with his no, no, no.
The Geico commercial is the greatest.
We lived in the same building as him for a year.
You did?
And yeah, like back in 06 or 07.
Yeah.
And I don't think he knew who I was, like that I was a football player or anything. Yeah. Maybe he did, but we just, I had a few just pleasant conversations with him, just small talk, like in the lobby and in the elevator at times. And he's just a pleasant dude.
Yeah.
But I was in the elevator, first time I was in the elevator with him, he went to press the button, and I wanted so bad that he was just going to do like a little finger wag before he pressed. And I always wish I told him that. But I didn't want him to know that I knew who he was. I just wanted it to be kind of like oh, I'm not going to bother this dude. I'm going to just
As
whatever.
As he was reaching for the button, you should have reached in and intercepted it and then gone, no, 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 no.
That would have been awesome for him if he had just done that his entire life, just wagged the thing on any elevator.
Everybody.
People are going to be looking at him wondering, is that Dikembe Mutombo? And then he does the finger. It's
7-4.
Is there anybody more? It's one of the most notable finger gestures.
Yes.
That's so easily identifiable with a single person.
Absolutely, it is.
You know?
Yeah, you got commercials out of it, like you said. The other sad news yesterday from the world of baseball, RIP Pete Rose. Last night, about 6 o'clock, the news came down. 83 years old, Pete Rose.
83 years old, and I'm, you know what? I'm kind of
full 83 years.
I'm kind of glad for all of the weirdness that the internet has brought to our life and social media and everything else like that. I do feel like as there became more and more places to get on camera, Pete Rose had more opportunities to be on camera and maybe get some exposure in such a way that people realized, all right, well, this is just kind of an entertaining old guy at this point. Mm-hmm. If he can get on TV without just tearing into the commissioner for 5 minutes straight, and he ends up being in studio shows and just being a personality, probably making, because of all the things and the way things have changed, I probably made a good amount of money in his later years. So dude, I feel like without getting into the Hall of Fame, there almost was a redemption story in that he was fully more, I think, embraced back into the business of baseball.
Yeah, I think it helped that everybody softened on gambling as a whole.
Yeah.
With him. And, like, nobody made a better cottage industry out of not being in the Hall of Fame.
Right, even Pete Rose. He could go to Cooperstown and do his own autograph
during Hall of Fame weekend. He'd be up there signing stuff, yeah. All right, Sean Pendergast, Seth Payne with you. Monday Night Football last night, by the way, Titans get their first win of the season. They beat the Miami Dolphins, and the Detroit Lions knock the Seahawks from the ranks of the undefeated. Speaking of Monday Night Football, Ross Tucker, he was on the call last night for that Dolphins-Titans game on Westwood One, a game you heard right here on Sports Radio 610. He was on the CBS broadcast of Browns-Raiders this weekend as well. And we'll get his thoughts on the Texans, too. I'm guessing his Ross Tucker power rankings are up and running. So we'll talk to the great Ross Tucker, our Odyssey NFL insider, next.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.